Want to be a superhero. Want to be a superhero. That is the title for this morning's message. When I was a kid, there was only one superhero that mattered. Oh, so close and so way off. Superman. And in part, I'll tell you why, for those of you who are a little younger, there was only a movie about Superman back when I was a kid. I know, it's hard to imagine a time where there was a movie about one superhero, and that was Superman. And to me, he was the whole package. I mean, he had everything. He could do it all. He stood for truth, justice, and the Canadian way. And I can say that because he was created in part by a Canadian. So, truth, justice, and the Canadian way. And I watched these movies, and I was in awe of Superman. I wanted to be like Superman. Now, you may be asking the question here this morning, why wasn't Batman your favorite superhero? That's why. Today, superhero stuff is everywhere. You can see it on backpacks and coffee mugs and t-shirts. It's all over the place. And I kind of wonder, why is it that we are so fascinated with superheroes? And the really easy answer, and I don't know if this is right or not, in part, we all kind of want to be a superhero, don't we? And I'll tell you, there's certain things about superheroes that are kind of common amongst all of them. And here they are, superhero traits. There's three of them. You have to have all three to be a superhero, okay? Are you ready? If you're wanting to be, this is your superhero training right here. If you want to be a superhero, you have to be all three of these things. You have to have a special ability. Even Iron Man, you know, he can create all kinds of technology. That's his special ability. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you have to have a special ability of some kind, something that very few other people can possibly do. You have to have a noble cause. If you have a special ability, but you do not have a noble cause, you are called a villain. So you have a special ability, a noble cause, and you have to have a willingness to sacrifice. Because you could have a special ability and a noble cause and sit on your couch. That does not make a superhero. So you have to have all three of these. A special ability, a noble cause, and a willingness to sacrifice. Now, you might be asking the question, Pastor, what does this have to do with God? I'm so glad you asked. This is about our mission as a church. Because our mission is really a call to be a hero. Take a look at this list again. We have said inviting people to follow Jesus is our mission. Every follower of Jesus has a special ability. They have the message of Jesus. It is, when properly understood, it is a very rare message. A lot of people have some ideas about Jesus, a lot of ideas about Christianity, but a follower of Jesus who knows their Bible well can talk about Jesus in a way that is true. This is a special ability. It is a very rare message in Nanaimo in 2019. A noble cause. Let's face it. Becoming a follower of Jesus makes your life here in so many ways better, but beyond that, is there a more noble cause than altering the trajectory of where someone is going upon death? That is the most noble cause there is. And a willingness to sacrifice. People all over the world, followers of Jesus, are sacrificing for this mission, inviting people to follow Jesus. They may word it in a different way, but that's essentially what they're doing. People are losing their homes. They're losing their health, their freedom. Some of them are losing their lives. Some of them are giving great amounts of money so that there is an investment in this. There is a willingness to sacrifice among God's people. So, if those are three traits of superheroes, followers of Jesus have the opportunity to be a superhero. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Remember now, I said, our mission as a church is inviting people to follow Jesus. It is a call to be a hero. Now, some of you may be thinking, Pastor, you dadgum flipped your lid again. Because people following Jesus is the work of God. And it's not up to us. I've got great respect for that. It's true. God has to call people. But there is a passage that I want us to look at that gives us something to think about, that gives us a little bit of pause. And this morning I want us to walk away with this. Our mission requires heroes. When you look at those words above the door, realize that is a call to be a hero. And I'll explain that as we go on. We're looking this morning at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. And it starts off with Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth about 20 years after Jesus had left the earth. And he's writing to this church, and he's going to give this church a little window into Paul's kind of personal outlook in life. And it is powerful. And I want you to take the time to digest this. He says this, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people." Why? Why would someone become a slave to all people? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound crazy? Have you ever thought of becoming a slave to all people? And he says, I become a slave to all people for this purpose, to bring many to Christ. That's his purpose. That's why he lives. That's why he wakes up in the morning. That's what he's thinking about when he's having his first cup of coffee, is how to bring many people to Christ. Slave to all people to bring many to Christ. In essence, he's saying, I've become a slave to all people so I can be inviting people to follow Jesus. He goes on. So that's his mission, okay? That's his purpose. He goes on to say, I try to find common ground with everyone. I love that. Just wait, whoa, wait for a second. Isn't it nice? What a novel approach for a follower of Jesus to find common ground with people instead of pointing out all the differences. Imagine that. This is his approach to bringing people to Jesus, is he tries to find common ground with them. I could make a sermon on that, but we're going to keep on going. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can. Does that sound like he's leaving it all in God's hands? Hello! Does that sound like he's leaving it just in God's hands? No. Doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I love that whole phrase. Doing everything I can to save some. I gotta tell you, since it was a superhero theme, I had this on my mind, but those words, doing everything I can to save some, I had to hear them in the Batman voice. I did. I'm going to try real hard here. Doing everything I can to save some. Yeah. It's my best Batman. That's all I got. I don't get paid for my impressions, let me tell you. Doing everything I can to save some, that sounds like superhero talk, doesn't it? And this is what Paul says, this is what I do. This is what gives me life, that gives me energy. This, I get up in the morning, I do everything I can to save some. There's a willingness to sacrifice there, you see, for the good of others. But why be a hero? Why be a hero? He goes on and he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. And I got to think the people who are reading his letter for the first time are going, well, duh. That's a pretty obvious statement, right? In a race, everyone runs, only one gets the prize. Way to go, Mr. Obvious. Thank you, Apostle Paul. So, but then he goes on and he says this, and he challenges them. He says, so run to win. Whoa, wait a second. What do you mean, run to win? what is this race, and how do you win this race? You might be a little confused. And this is why there's a call to be a hero. He says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. There are athletes today, oh man, they're getting up at 4 a.m, they're pounding down the protein shakes, they are working out 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. We invite people to follow Jesus for an eternal prize. It's very, very different. This is a prize that will not tarnish. And notice he changes his language. He changes his language from talking about I to we. We do this. It's not just the Apostle Paul. He says, we as a church, as the Big C Church, this is what we do. We invite people to follow Jesus, and we do it for an eternal prize. What is that eternal prize? I do not know. But I do know it's going to be better than any of us can imagine. And he concludes with this. So, after all that, so, in conclusion, I run with purpose. I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. This is the real McCoy, man. This is the real deal. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. We talked about willingness to sacrifice. This is Paul saying, I make sure I am ready to go in the morning. I make sure that when I am reading the Bible, when I am praying, when I am getting together with other followers of Jesus, that is not just for my benefit. I am in training so that I can get out there and I can invite people to follow Jesus. Have you thought that the reason you come, in part, the reason that you may come to a service such as this is not for your benefit? It is for your family's benefit, your spouse's benefit, your kids' benefit, your co-workers' benefit, your neighbor's benefit. You are in training. This is not for an Olympic reward. This is for a kingdom reward. And some of us in this room are not followers of Jesus yet. But I'm glad you're here. I am. And I want to make sure that you have an idea as we start this ministry year. I want you to have an idea what following Jesus looks like. Because you may be skeptical, you may have doubts, you may have questions. I want you to know that you are welcome here. Because many of the people who are believers in this room have skepticism and doubt and questions. Not hearing nearly enough amens on that one. But you know it's true. You know it's true. Of course it is. I have my skepticism, my doubts, and my questions. Now, in case you may be thinking that I may have taken this a little too far, that the idea of our whole lives should have purpose, that there should be purpose in every step towards inviting people to follow Jesus, I may have taken it too far in thinking that Jesus is more than just a piece of our lives. See, Jesus had never advertised himself to be a piece of anyone's life. He advertised himself to be the whole life. That our whole life is to revolve around him. Every step we take is to have purpose in what he has called us to do. And this is something that Jesus said. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, oh my, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And I've mentioned this before. So many times I used to read passages like that, and I think, boy, God's a real egomaniac, right? Like, Jesus just wants it all to be about him. But as I continued to study and as I continued to understand, Jesus kept bringing people back to himself because it's the most loving thing he could do. He is the source of all the things that you and I desperately need. A sense of belonging, love, compassion. Everything that you and I desperately crave inside is only found in him. And it would be crazy for him to point us to anyone else, including our spouse, including our children. They cannot fulfill the deepest needs of our soul, and only God can. So why wouldn't he say, look, you've got to make them secondary. If you really want to be fully human, fully alive, the way you were designed to be, that can only be found in a relationship with me. We are about inviting people to follow Jesus. This has been our mission for about 2 years. And the thing is, I have a sneaking suspicion that many people who look at those words think inviting people to follow Jesus is just about conversion. It's just about helping people cross the line of faith to where they turn away from their sins and put their trust in Jesus. Absolutely, that is part of it. That is an important part of it. But inviting people to follow Jesus is so much more than conversion. Do you want to know what it is? I'm glad, because I prepared. This is about hero training. And when we say as a church to invite people to follow Jesus, we're saying inviting people to do what Jesus did and follow what he taught. That is inviting people to follow Jesus. Okay? This is so important to understand. Let me give you some examples. And it has to do with, I thought for a while, well, what did Jesus actually do when he was on this planet? And I listed out a few things. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but it should give us an idea of some of the things that it takes when we invite people to follow Jesus, what we're actually inviting them to. Jesus obeyed. Jesus obeyed his Father. He says so many times, man, I just do what my Father tells me to do. When you invite people to obey something that God has called us to do, whether they know Jesus yet or they've known him for 30 years, you are inviting people to follow Jesus. No, I'm just letting that sink in for a second. Jesus served. Jesus, as some of you may know, he demonstrated servanthood. He got down and he wiped the stinky, dirty feet of his disciples. And he did it as an example. Jesus served. So, when you invite someone into service, when you invite someone to serve alongside of you, whether they know Jesus yet or not, you are inviting them to follow Jesus' example. You see? You beginning to catch on to how this works now? Isn't this fun? Jesus forgave on the cross. This just blows my mind. And it has to do with loving your enemies. With spikes in his wrists and in his feet, Jesus thought about the forgiveness of the people who did it to him. Jesus forgave. He actually prayed for the people who did this to him. And when we come across people who are hurting and we are broken and we say, hey, you know what? Jesus forgave people who hurt him. Maybe you'd consider following his example. Forgive the people who hurt you. You are inviting people to follow Jesus. Jesus corrected. Jesus was so loving, he couldn't just let people believe lies. And every now and then, he would correct them. And some of the people we come across also know people who are believing lies. And when we invite them to correct gently, humbly, when we invite them to correct, we are inviting people to follow Jesus' example. Jesus healed. Jesus laid his hands on people and healed them. Now that is an act of God. But what we can do, what any follower of Jesus can do, is lay their hands on people and pray for them. Jesus healed. And when we invite people to do that, we are inviting them to follow Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. More. Jesus depended. He said that he could do nothing on his own. He was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to do everything that he did. And when we see people struggling with things beyond their control, and we invite them to say, you know what, Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. Why don't you just reach out right now and you say, I can't do this. Holy Spirit, could you help me? You are inviting people to follow Jesus. Jesus taught. Jesus taught people things beyond perhaps where they were at, but he taught them truths about the kingdom. And when you invite people to do that very same thing, to tell people about the kingdom, to tell them what it means to follow Jesus, to tell them what being saved is all about, you are inviting them to follow Jesus' example, to follow Jesus. And we're going to look at this one more in a few weeks, but Jesus sacrificed. Jesus served long beyond the point of comfort. And you may see people around you who are, as I would describe it, volunteering, but they're not sacrificing. And as we're going to look at in a few weeks, that is not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us beyond that. And so when we invite people to not just serve, but to sacrifice, we are inviting them to follow Jesus. Do you see now how this is so much bigger than conversion? It is following the example and teaching of Jesus. And you can do that before people become a follower of Jesus and after. Our mission requires heroes. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. Here, let me just point out something from the biographies of Jesus. There's something really interesting that happens with the Apostle Peter. Peter's just a fisherman, right? And he's doing his fishing thing. And some of the first words Jesus says to Peter are what? Follow me. Peter doesn't know who Jesus is. But he says, come, follow me. And so Peter leaves his stuff. He doesn't know this guy, but for whatever reason, maybe he felt something in his spirit and say, yeah, follow this guy. So he starts following Jesus before he has any trust in him at all. After watching him for 3 years, after watching the crucifixion and the resurrection, some of the final words that Jesus says to Peter are what? You got to read it in the end of John. It's follow me. Follow me. Jesus told Peter to follow him before he believed and after he believed. This is a never-ending thing to follow Jesus. Let's face it, all of us could follow Jesus a little more, couldn't we not? In part, that's why we're here, right? Follow me. Follow me. Here at NAC, we believe something really crazy. We believe that the struggles of our time in 2019, the hopelessness, the purposelessness, the rampant addiction, the loneliness, the anxiety and fear, the lovelessness, all of those, we believe the craziest thing, we believe all of those are answered in Jesus. So when we are inviting people to follow Jesus, we are inviting them to an escape of the worst things that we see in our world. And beyond that, to life eternal. Now, as I went through that list, and I could tell, boy, some of you were really thinking. As I went through that list of all the different, some of the different ways we can invite people to follow Jesus, here's my hope. That some of you who have up to this morning felt like a complete failure when it came to our mission because you have never actually helped someone cross the line of faith, now realize that there's so much more to this mission of inviting people to follow Jesus. That every time you invite someone to take a step of trust towards Jesus, no matter how small, you are fulfilling our mission as a church. And as you help them take another step, and another step, and another step, our hope is, of course, that they'd become a sold-out, I love you more than anyone else, follower of Jesus. And if that's the case and you're realizing for the first time you've been doing this all along with your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, you've been inviting them to just take one step, I say keep going. Keep doing it. You're fulfilling the mission. This is exactly what Paul said. This is why I get up. My purpose is to invite people to follow Jesus. And many in this room are doing the exact same thing. Now, before I conclude, I have something for you. I have, well, this is our mission, inviting people to follow Jesus. I have a preview for you. This is what our year is going to look like. Starting next year, next week, we are going to start a series called Beyond Religion. Because as I've already alluded to in this message, Jesus did not call us to religion. He called us into a friendship with God. And what does it look like? How can following Jesus give your life greater focus and meaning in 2019? That's what this series is going to be about. It's going to have some surprises, I suspect, for some of us. Because Jesus called us to go beyond religion. And I'll explain what that means next week. After that, we're going to have a series called If You Want Good Friends. God made us relational people. And some of us are really good at making friends, and some of us are not. But how can following Jesus help you have deeper and more meaningful friendships in your life? And after that, coming into the new year, this is going to be a big series because one of the things we realize is many people in this room and people listening to this online and people that we are coming in contact with regularly deal with anxiety and fear on a regular basis. It is crippling in 2019. So in an age of increasing anxiety, how can following Jesus give us this great thing? Peace. We're going to spend about 8 weeks looking at that. After that, the Judge Judy series. I'm looking forward to this one. Because for a lot of people, when they think about judging, all they know is Jesus said, judge not. And they think, that's it. That's all there is to know about judging. Done. The Bible has far more to say about judging. In fact, I would say if you live your life only by judge not, in fact, you make judgments about nothing, you cannot survive. You cannot survive. So how can following Jesus teach us when it is helpful to judge and when it is not? Next is the Nanaimo Idol series. Yeah, so that'll be around the beginning of summer there. And this is going to be about how can following Jesus keep us living in freedom? Because there are all kinds of idols out there right now that want to cripple you and keep you addicted and keep you joyless. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. And following Jesus provides a way into freedom and away from idols. And finally, the Switching on Your Brain series. This is going to be fun. During the last part of the summer, we are going to ask some tough, tough questions. Questions that you may get asked if you're a follower of Jesus. Questions that you may have right now because you're just checking out Christianity. How can following Jesus answer the most pressing questions of our time? Let me close. I said that being a superhero is about having a special ability, and we talked about that, having a noble cause, and we talked about that, and a willingness to sacrifice. The question I have to ask, had to ask myself as I prepared this message, the question I pose to you, is: are you willing to sacrifice for the mission? Are you willing to discipline yourself, train yourself, not just for your benefit, but for the people who desperately need to hear about Jesus that we know and whom we love? This is not about something I want from you. I don't want you to build the kingdom of Nanaimo Alliance Church. Not my intention. If you get people to eventually follow Jesus and they decide to go to some other church, I don't care. I don't. I just want people to find Jesus. Where they go, I don't care. As long as they get grown there and nurtured there, I don't care. I mean, we'd love to have them. We'd love to have all of you. But what I want for you in fulfilling this mission is a sense of purpose, is a sense of hope, is deeper relationships, peaceful hearts. I want to remind you of something that Paul said in that passage that we looked at. He said, "I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." There are blessings to be had when you are involved in the mission of the church. When you are on the front lines, inviting people to take one step of faith, you are going to share in blessings that someone who's sitting at home on their couch is not going to experience. It's a beautiful thing. Let me end with this. When the story of this world is told and retold in eternity, the heroes will not be those who helped others avoid death for a time. The heroes will be those who helped others find life for all time. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, I know there are people in this room who struggle in handing their lives over to you. The idea of loving you more than their spouse, loving you more than their children, loving you more than maybe some of their hobbies or projects or money or whatever is scary. And they're struggling to trust you that much. Lord, may you comfort them right now. May you just draw them close to you. May you assure them in their hearts that you have their best interests at heart. And Lord, for those of us who do know you, may this year be a turning point. May the coming weeks be a turning point where the mission of this church is not just words on a wall. It's not just words that we say, but we begin to train, begin to be disciplined, that this becomes our purpose in life, that we would have that special ability and we would run with it. And because we have this noble cause and we would hold that up as the most important thing, and Lord, may this year we be willing to sacrifice more than we've ever sacrificed before. May we be willing to give up everything for the sake of others as you have called us to. Lord, we love you and you are worthy of that kind of dedication. Lord, for those in this room, and there are many, who struggle with guilt, they always feel like a failure before you. They always feel like they could do more. Lord, may you help them rejoice in the little steps. That just the little words that they're saying, may they rejoice in every step of faith that they take to invite someone to follow Jesus. May we rejoice in your power to give us the courage we need to fulfill this mission. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.